One of the greatest obstacles to crafting health and wellness is identifying and controlling inflammation. It's at the core of all complex and chronic diseases, and is the driving mechanism that underlies the most common symptoms that people like you struggle to overcome. Join us as we explore cutting-edge science and research to give you the information and tools you need to create the quality of life you want and deserve. And now, here is the host of Inflammation Nation, Dr. Stephen Noseworthy.
Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. Continuing on now with part five of our series called Embracing Strength. Today we're going to be talking about discipline and motivation and learning how to stick to a plan even when you don't feel like it. Because face it, there are times when you just simply don't feel like it. I know that that's the case with me. And there's many factors or variables that go into that, but I don't go into the gym or to an exercise session every single time, just completely gung-ho to be there. That varies. Sometimes I'm spot on and sometimes I really struggle with that. And yes, every once in a while I'll take a day off, but that's, you know, kind of the exception rather than the norm. But we are now, we're about 3 months into 2024. And I wonder how many of you listening out there are still on point with your New Year's resolutions. Or how many of you may have already abandoned that? And I don't pose that question to be mean or to make you feel bad, but hopefully to convince you that if you have backslidden, might be the right way to say it, if you've backslidden, I hope to convince you to refocus on what at one point you decided was important to you. And on that point, and just go with me here, I want you to close your eyes if it's safe for you to do that. Take a deep breath. And remind yourself of what it was you had resolved to do in 2024. Remind yourself of the big why that drove your resolution to start with. So I'm gonna go silent for just a second or so, give you a moment to recall that vision or that feeling. Can you picture it in your mind? What was it? Statistically speaking, the most common resolutions every year are health related, right? Improve your fitness, improve your diet, lose weight, and so on. And so if that's you, you're in good company, including me. My 60th birthday is looming close. And in the fall of 2023, I had resolved to be in the best shape of my adult life by August 10th. And I'm happy to say I'm well on my way to that. And in fact, for me, in many respects, I'm as fit and as strong as I was in my early 30s. But I set a plan, I have executed that plan religiously, and I know without a doubt I'm going to hit my goals. And that's good to say. So what about you? What's happened to you and your goals? Are you on point? Are you struggling but still in the game? Or as I said earlier, have you abandoned your quest? Did that initial drive and desire fade before you even got started? Did you get started and fizzle out after a few weeks or after a few months? Did you succumb to the temptations that are designed to take you away from your goals? Did you not have the support that you needed? And at some point just simply decide that change was simply too hard? What was it? Because if that thing that you had resolved to do is still as important now as it was on January 31st, then you owe it to yourself to revisit that now and not wait another year just to start the cycle all over again, because you know how it goes. Every year we resolve to do better, to be better, and most of us fall off that and we're singing the same song by the end of that year. And I've said this before, the next 6 months are going to go by whether you refocus and recommit or not. Time will march on. In 6 months from now, you can either be 6 months into crafting that new you, or you can be 6 months further down the path that's not helping and in fact may actually be harming you. Now, I've worked with a lot of people over the last 30 years, and I would often hear that they didn't stick to a plan because they just lost their motivation. And they lament that if they could only get motivated again, they would finish what they started. Whether that was a weight loss plan or a new diet or starting to work out, a fitness program, or all of it. And the problem is perhaps twofold. The first problem is mistaking motivation for adherence, and we'll sort that out today. Depending on how long I go on this, I might have to take two episodes to cover everything that I'd like to say and share. So the first thing is using the word motivation when we really mean something else, and that usually what we mean is adherence. And the second problem is thinking that motivation alone is enough to carry you through the challenges that you face when you're trying to change a behavior. And that's actually what we're talking about, behavior change. And so then the question becomes, how do we change behavior? What does it take for us to set a new goal or to set a goal that requires something to change and then stick to it until we get what we want? It also begs the question, when we get to where we want to be, can we go back to what we were doing before we decided to solve a particular problem? It was Albert Einstein who once said that we can't solve a problem with the same thinking that we had when we created the problem. And we can take that notion and apply it to these lifestyle goals. What that means is the answer is no. Once you get where you want to be, you can't go back to what you were doing before you decided that something needed to change. Let me give you two examples, one from the diet world, one from the exercise world. Let's say that somebody is an overweight type 2 diabetic who eats too many carbohydrates, too much sugar, and that's essentially why they're a type 2 diabetic. And let's also say that this person decides to go on a low-carb diet or maybe ketogenic diet, which over time resolves their diabetes. Now they're not diabetic anymore. They probably end up losing a bunch of weight and they have normal blood sugar control. What do you think would happen if they went back to their old diet of high carbs and high sugar? Well, it's obvious, right? They would become an overweight diabetic again because they were doing the things that created the problem to begin with. And the same is true of exercise. We've talked a lot about setting goals for exercise and knowing what you want that to do for you. What are your goals? And so let's imagine someone who wants to use exercise to gain muscle and lose body fat, very common goal. They invest the time and the effort into a well-constructed program where they are doing a combination of cardio and strength training, say 5 or 6 days a week. And as a result, they do gain muscle and they do lose body fat and they get to the point where they're happy with their new body composition, their new capacity for life. And they enjoy the knowledge that they have, as a result of this, reduced their risk of death from all causes. And let's say they then mistakenly think, well, I have arrived, I have achieved my goals. Now I can stop doing everything I had done that got me here. They stop exercising, they stop doing cardio, they stop lifting weights. What do you think will happen? Obviously, over time, they will lose the muscle they had gained. They will regain the body fat that they had lost. They will lose the new capacity that they have built. And, you know, the cherry on top is that their risk of death from any cause goes back up again. And so this is a huge problem with our modern diet culture and why diets, in air quotes for those of you who are listening on podcast, why diets are destined to fail. And I use the word diet all the time, but to be honest, I would rather use the term like your fueling or your eating strategy. It's a mouthful. That's why we still say diet, but diets are destined to fail. And this is also a huge problem with being in a place where exercise was either never a part of your lifestyle or if you feel you can't because your exercise tolerance is low. And once you achieve a goal, you sometimes lose the motivation to do the work that got you there because change is hard and motivation is fickle. And sometimes it's there and sometimes it's not. And that's why motivation alone is not enough to carry you through the obstacles and the distractions that will take you away from that path to your goal. So quit feeling that all you need to do is get motivated and things will be easier. That's a lie. It doesn't work that way. And I've got news for you. That won't work in the long run. Motivation will only take you so far because motivation waxes and wanes. That is the nature of motivation. There is more to success than just feeling like doing the work all the time. And that's why many people have adopted the credo of discipline is greater than motivation. But to be honest, even that is not enough, because you can be disciplined with a poor plan and still not get the results that you really want. So as I said earlier, a lot of times when people say, or they talk about motivation, what they really mean is adherence, which I guess another word for that would be commitment and consistency. Adherence is literally stick-to-itiveness. When they say I need to get motivated, what they're really saying is I need to find a way to stick to whatever process or program is going to help me achieve my goals. So we need to talk about adherence. And luckily, motivation is part of that. Adherence has six subcategories. It depends on which body of research and work that you read or people that you listen to. But for our purposes today, let's say that adherence has six subcategories that happen in phases, and they tend to flow somewhat sequentially. So from the first subcategory to the second to the third and so on, they kind of build on each other. And when you put them all together, that's what we call adherence. Some of these aspects of adherence are short-lived, while others occur over longer time frames. I'm going to name them, and then we're going to spend just a few minutes describing each of these so you can see how they fit and they flow together. And again, depending on if I can get all of this done in 30 minutes or so, we'll do it in one episode. If not, I'll break it up. So adherence is made up of the following six categories or domains, or has six different aspects. Number one is inspiration. Number two is motivation. Number three is intention. Number four is discipline. And number five is habit. Now I'm going to say them again, but I'm going to try to translate into, you know, something a little bit extra, so you can start syncing with the big picture. Number one, inspiration. That's like, I want to do something. Motivation is why you want to do that. Intention is what you're going to do or how you're going to do it. And discipline is willpower. And habit is a way of life. We put all those things together. They all connect. They flow into each other. And when we consider them all together, that's what we call adherence. So let's start with inspiration. Inspiration is the spark that makes you want to start a new diet, to start an exercise program. It's an emotional response to some trigger that fires up a deep need to be or to do something bigger or better. And the utility of that is that inspiration creates this burning need, this desire to get started, but honestly, that's about all it's really good for. Being inspired feels great, but unless it progresses to the next level or the next part of adherence, which is motivation, then inspiration just simply fades. And it has to be constantly fed. You cannot neglect it. And as powerful as inspiration is, it is short-lived. Depending on circumstances and depending on what you're inspired about, it might last a day or so. It might last hours. So let's say in general, inspiration is going to last maybe a day or less. Imagine that you're trying to light a fire. If you've ever done this, you'll know exactly what I'm saying. Like, you lay down some kindling, you stack a bunch of firewood, but in order to light it, you need a spark. Now, these days we have butane lighters and all plasma torches and all these different things, but imagine all you had was a match. So you take out a match and you strike it, but because the match is only so small, it will only burn for so long. So once you strike the match, you have very limited time to light the kindling before the initial spark gives out. That's what inspiration is like. It's that quick spark that you can do something with, but if you waste time, it goes away. Now, we can feed inspiration by using both positive and negative triggers. On the positive side, you can find inspiration by exposing yourself to inspiring people, or by looking at inspiring pictures, or reading or listening to inspiring stories. When I was a college athlete, my roommate and I would cut out pictures of athletes from different sports magazines, and we would pin them up around our kitchen. And so every day in the morning, and every time we went in to get a snack or make a meal, you know, we started our day by being exposed to these positive images of lean, fit, active, healthy people. It was our inspiration. And, you know, what a great way to start your morning with a little dose of inspiration. And that obviously can come in many different forms. And we did that day after day, multiple times a day, started our day that way. These images were still on our minds later that day when classes were done and we headed to the gym. To this day, I can't see a Rocky movie or listen to the theme song, Eye of the Tiger, without wanting to be a better man. It's very inspiring to me. It doesn't mean it's inspiring to you. You have to find your inspiration. But as it relates to health and wellness, and here's another example that just popped into my head. There's a, oh gosh, what's the name? It's a Russell Crowe movie. I think it's called The Milkman. It's a story, it's based on a true story of a boxer from the Depression era and how he ended up becoming a successful boxer, but it was all about a father taking care of his family in very, very tumultuous times. More modern days, recently, The Greatest Showman for me is great inspiration because, again, it's about the struggles of the man trying to take care of his family. To me, that's very inspiring. Now, beyond things like that, and this is very common today, there are so many online challenges, health transformations, physique transformations. There's so many things out there on the internet, before and after pictures and stories. There is no shortage of inspiration. You just have to figure out what connects with you and then expose to yourself to that on a very consistent basis. Because remember, it's a spark, it's a flash, it's there, but then it fades. So you have to keep feeding it. Now that's positive inspiration. There is negative inspiration as well. On the negative side, like sometimes inspiration comes when you're faced with some of your weaknesses in a context that really kind of makes it matter. I've told this story before. I did a segment last year or so on weight loss, and I shared my own story of ballooning up from 190 pounds to 240. And the short version of the story is, we had had some friends come visit us from Canada, and we were, you know, spent the day at the beach. And a couple of weeks later, I got pictures. This is before everyone had smartphones, so I'll tell you how long ago this was. And so I got some pictures back, and I remember seeing a picture of my friend talking to this overweight guy, this fat guy. And I didn't recognize the fat guy. And then it slowly dawned on me that the fat guy was me. I was horrified, but you better believe that that day I worked out, and I hadn't been doing that for a long time. Seeing that picture, which brought up a negative inspiration, negative in the sense of I saw something I didn't like and I knew I had to change it. To me, that picture of myself was very inspirational. So inspiration can fall on the positive side, something you want to attain, or negative, something you know that you need to change. The bottom line is inspiration is necessary because it provides the impetus to get the ball rolling. It is the want to. Inspiration is about want and need and desire. And while it is the spark that can start a huge fire, it won't fan the flames. Inspiration alone is not enough to drive adherence. You need more than inspiration. The next thing you need beyond inspiration is motivation, which adds a why to the want. Motivation is, in other words, one layer deeper than inspiration in this concept of adherence or stick-to-itiveness. If inspiration is the I want to fill in the blank, then motivation is the why about why that's important and valuable to you, right? Again, back when I saw that picture of myself that I just mentioned, the inspiration was the initial shock of how much had changed and the thought of, gosh, how could I have let this happen? But that initial shock wore off by the next day or so because I was busy working 60 hours a week and doing my best to take care of my wife and five kids. So I worked out the same day that I saw the picture, but by the next week, I was stuck in the same routine of working a lot, not working out, not eating well. But that shock, it kept eating away at me. And I kept noticing myself in the mirror. It's amazing to me how you can look at yourself in the mirror and kind of blur your eyes and not really see what the mirror is telling you. But after that initial shock, the mirror started to talk to me. And so even though I didn't use the initial spark to light a fire, and I certainly didn't fan the flames, I was constantly inspired by looking in the mirror. And again, this is a negative inspiration, and that can still work. That shock kept eating away at me, and I started to realize quite literally that I didn't want to die young and leave my family without a husband and a father. In other words, my motivation was to fulfill what I consider to be the highest calling that a man can have, and that is to be a husband and a father, and a good one. I wanted to get in shape, but I needed to take care of myself so that I could take care of the people that I love, the people who depended on me. And it doesn't matter if you're a guy or a woman, a father or a mother. If you're in that situation and you have people that depend on you, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Motivation is that deeper inner drive that carries you forward farther than inspiration ever could. But you can't have motivation without inspiration. Motivation starts with inspiration. And while inspiration is based on that initial feeling of either dissatisfaction with your current state or a desire to be or do something better, the end point isn't always clear. Again, I hear Eye of the Tiger. I watch The Greatest Showman. And it makes me want to do and be better. But what does that mean? Like, there's no handle on the phrase, I want to be better, I want to do better. There's no handle on that. You can't grab it and understand it. It's too nebulous and it's too ill-defined. So unlike inspiration, which is powerful but short-lived and fuzzy, motivation is longer-lived and it's more concrete. Motivation is anchored by having a clear purpose and a clear goal. So while inspiration is that initial spark that makes adherence possible, motivation can fuel adherence on a day-to-day basis long after inspiration has faded. So yes, you need motivation. And saying you need to get motivated is a good thing if you really actually truly mean motivation and not adherence in a bigger sense. But what you can't rely on is being motivated to the same degree all the time. In other words, motivation waxes and wanes. Some days you don't feel as motivated, others you do, which means two things. First, if all you have is motivation, some days you follow through and stick to your plan and others you don't. So motivation is necessary, but not sufficient for success. Because motivation can vary from week to week, day to day, even from hour to hour. It alone is not sufficient to be your ongoing fuel to stick to your plan. Second, it also means that you need something else to carry you forward when motivation is in a low state, when it's on the downswing. How do you feed motivation? Motivation is, it's fed by having a clear goal and purpose and keeping that in front of you on a consistent basis. Are you motivated to exercise and follow a diet? Great. But motivated for what purpose? Why do you want to do that? What's the end game and what are the specifics? I would suggest that you spend some time putting details to your why. For me, it was, I wanted to be a better father and husband. I didn't want to die young. But make sure that whatever the why is that you have, make sure that you set realistic goals that are challenging but attainable. It's not helpful to say that you want to lose 50 pounds in 3 weeks. That's probably not going to happen, no matter how hard you try. It's also not helpful to say, I want to be able to lift, squat, for example, 2 times my body weight in the next 3 months when you've never done that before. It's just not going to happen. You're probably going to hurt yourself in the interim. So as part of motivation, which is the why you want to do something, you need clarity. You need details. These are important. The more clear and the more detailed your why is, the more that you can use that to spur motivation when it begins to wane or fade on you. And wane it will. That is the nature of motivation. Up and down, up and down, up and down in a cycle. So how do you stay motivated? Well, you anchor it with a well-defined why that clarifies the want of the inspiration. That's number one. Be clear about why it's important. We can also stay motivated or be more motivated more consistently is probably a better way to say it, by being around supportive people. That makes it a lot easier, right? This is the power of group exercise programs, for example, things like Orange Theory Fitness or CrossFit or F45 or any number of programs that you might find in a local gym where a bunch of people get together and they share camaraderie, they have common goals. Being around supportive people makes it easier. And it's also easier to stay motivated when you do it with your spouse or significant other, if you have one, and if you're both on the same page. But motivation is also fed by seeing changes and results. Because motivation is fed by positive reinforcement. Seeing something change. Like, I did this, it was hard, but look at what happened. And so, and again, I'm trying to put these examples into the realms of things like diet and exercise, because those are the most common goals that people have. Seeing even subtle changes, seeing small results, helps to build your motivation, whether that's slight changes in your strength or your endurance in the gym, or even a 1 to 2 pound change on the scale feeds the motivation, and motivation builds. And what that means then is motivation is self-reinforcing. The more you do things that are designed to satisfy the motivation, the more that you keep the why in front of you and have clear details, and you start to see little signs of success, the more you want to do it, and therefore your motivation grows. But remember, it's not infinite, and it will wax and wane. Even the most diligent athletes, or even non-athletes, people who just stick to healthy diets and lifestyles and enjoy the rewards of that, even then, they are not motivated 100% all the time. Finally, it is motivating to overcome temptations or distractions and to realize that, yes, you do have the mental fortitude and the strength to stand firm and move forward without being sidetracked or derailed or distracted. Every small win is a big victory and should be recognized and celebrated, at least by you. And whether that means you do go out with friends to lunch or to dinner, and you don't just order whatever you want off the menu because that's what they're doing, or you go out to socialize and, you know, everyone's drinking and you're like, no, I have a goal and drinking is counter to that, so I'm not going to have any alcohol. I mean, maybe in the moment it seems like a big deal, but when you get back home and you realize I did it, do you understand how that is self-satisfying? That is self-reinforcing. Subtle changes, small victories along the way to your goal as long as you're paying attention, will help you with more consistent, more motivation. Remember, it will change over time for everybody. It's got its life cycle. It will always change. So the bottom line with these first two elements, and I think I'll probably keep this episode just to here for now, and we'll come back in the next episode and finish off this discussion. The bottom line is that inspiration is a deep emotional desire to be or to do something better. It is the want to. Motivation is less emotional, but it's more concrete and sustainable. It is the why behind adherence, and it needs to be clearly defined. Great, you want to follow a diet, you want to exercise. Why do you want to do that? What is that going to do for you? What are you going to get? What are you going to avoid? But motivation varies hour to hour, day to day, week to week. It waxes and wanes. It alone is not enough for long-term stick-to-itiveness or long-term adherence. Periods of low motivation, and as a result, low adherence, cancel out the periods of high motivation and higher adherence. And when you mix them together, basically yields no progress. And let's just say, for example, you're following a diet and you're exercising, and every other day you're motivated and every other day you're not. So on the days you're motivated, you eat right and you exercise, and the days you're not, you don't. And so you're like a day on, a day off, a day on, a day off. And when you average that out, nothing has changed because there's been no bias towards the direction of adherence. And that's why we say motivation is not enough, because it varies and waxes and wanes. And so beyond inspiration and motivation, we need something called intention. What is it you intend to do to accomplish your goals? What is your plan? Let's put some details on that so that you're not just out there flailing your arms and legs or piling kale on your plate without actually having a strategic plan that's going to help you move down the path, stick to it, and then ultimately realize that thing that is important to you. All right, guys, I'm going to leave it there. Hopefully that is inspirational for you. Hopefully I've given you some food for thought. There's still more to come. Thanks for listening, and stick around. We've got another episode to finish off this discussion right here on the Inflammation Nation.
Thanks for listening to Inflammation Nation. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe to our podcast. Be the first to know when a new episode drops so you can stay on top of your game. It also helps others like you find the answers they need. You can use the links in the episode description to check out Dr. Noseworthy's self-learning programs for thyroid, detox, and gut health. Or you can submit a question for the podcast and even reach out to Dr. Noseworthy directly.